My name is Mackenzie Bissett. I work at the National Commission on Correctional Healthcare. I've been there about 2 years and am the project coordinator for our project called CORDS. I have no relationships to disclose. And for today, I'd like to go through three learning objectives. Explain the outcomes measurement in correctional healthcare, identify barriers to performance enhancement in corrections, and describe quality improvement and the CORDS project. Health outcomes and corrections. The correctional environment is pretty ideal for monitoring health outcomes. It's controlled, and it's a great opportunity for health promotion and disease prevention. Most of the inmates coming into a correctional facility are going to be screened, which leads to an earlier diagnosis, better outcomes, cost savings. We have access to the patients. They're always there. As far as treatment adherence goes, this is a great opportunity to educate our patients on how it's important to take their medication. As far as referrals upon release, discharge planning in correctional facilities really improves the continuity of care. Outcomes measurement in the community has been proven as an effective means of improving the quality of care. And a standardized measurement system will really help to align and organize, which is especially important in corrections where there's a total lack of resources. There was a study done by the RAND Corporation in 2009 that assessed performance measurement in various state prison systems, including the Bureau of Prisons. This study showed a substantial variation in the measures being used, and these measures were also in various stages of development and implementation. But more importantly, it indicated a strong need for something that was correction specific, something that would kind of bring the field up to speed and really allow for standardized data collection. What is CORDS? CORDS stands for Correctional Health Outcomes and Resource Data Set. It is a quality improvement initiative that uses aggregate data. It's modeled after HEDIS, which was created by the NCQA. It's a performance data sharing system for correctional health, and it's really a tool for tracking and trending and allowing facilities to compare their outcomes data. The project goals. With CORDS, we really wanted to create standardized performance measures just for corrections. There typically is a lot of emphasis on court monitoring, and we really wanted to use CORDS to promote more evidence-based care. We also want to standardize expectations, and what I mean by that is that many sites are already measuring outcomes, but these are all different. And, you know, once a facility comes up with some outcomes data, they can use the free world thresholds to compare, you know, how they're doing. But there really wasn't anything that they could use in corrections to compare apples to apples. So CORDS really allows them to compare themselves to other correctional facilities. We really want to improve the quality of care in corrections, and that's the main goal of this project. Disease tends to concentrate in this population, and we feel that by improving correctional health, we're improving public health. And finally, we want to use the data to really promote and describe the care being provided in correctional facilities. Who can participate in CORDS? As of right now, we are not excluding anyone. We have large facilities, small facilities, county, state, federal, public, private, individual institutions, and correctional systems. You don't have to have an EHR, and you don't have to be accredited by NCCHC to participate in this project. As of right now, most of the participating facilities are gathering data for this project from pharmacy data, lab data, offender management systems, or just manually abstracting the data from charts. The measures right now are split into short stay and long stay, so jail and prison. They are derived from nationally accepted performance measures developed by AHRQ, NCQA, and NQF. We do have 9 measures for the first round of data collection. These are 2 examples, hemoglobin A1C tested for diabetes patients and hemoglobin A1C poorly controlled for diabetes patients. In order to make this more applicable to corrections, we have measures that have been adapted in recognition of time constraints. So, for example, patients must be enrolled for 120 days during the study period. And in addition, some of our measures actually look at process measures. So, for example, one of them includes patients that have not had a second hemoglobin A1C test in the denominator. So that really allows facilities participating to kind of highlight a process in need of improvement as well as an outcome. Part of participating in this project, they receive a handbook and an Excel template that they use to submit the data. The data was submitted for measures that were applicable to each facility participating in the project. NCCHC receives the data de-identified, so no patient information. It's aggregate data. And then in return, participants receive an ID number and a report. And that report includes a summary of all the data from the round, as well as split into jails and prisons. So, for example, if you're a jail, you receive a graph showing kind of how you did relative to other jails that participated. Why is CORDS good for the field? Right now it's free and it's accessible. It's a great utility for quality improvement and benchmarking. It really allows facilities to look at process and outcomes. It really can enhance performance, and more than anything, it allows them to conduct meaningful comparisons. So if I'm a contractor and I'm providing health services in a correctional facility, you know, how is one of my sites doing relative to another site? If I'm a big prison system, how is my system doing compared to the system next to me? And not as important right now, but it will be important in the future. How is corrections doing as far as compared to the free world? And in some cases, we are doing better than the free world. And another important aspect is to really broaden awareness of advancements in the field. Phase one participants, we had 66 facilities participating, 10 of those jails. Roughly in the denominator, we had 250,000 inmates, diabetics about 13,000. These are two examples of long-stay measures that we used in the first round. We had about 65 facilities participating in these two and about 7,000 in the denominator. The first one, hemoglobin A1C tested for diabetes patients, really looks at their ability to monitor diabetes patients that have been there a year and have had an A1C in the last 12 months. The second, hemoglobin A1C poorly controlled for diabetes patients, looks at the percentage of those who have been incarcerated for a year and have an A1C of over 9%. Two more measures. The first one, we had 11 facilities participating, so not quite as many, 181 in the denominator. And this one, hemoglobin A1C improved for new diabetes patients not in good control, really looks at their ability to manage diabetics. The second one, four participating institutions and 145 in the denominator, medication management for new diabetes patients not in good control. And this one really assesses timeliness of therapeutic intervention. So how long did it take for them to be put on meds once they go through intake? So the visual representation of one of the measures, hemoglobin A1C improved for new diabetes patients not in good control. And this is an example of what the facilities would receive in their report. And you can see there's kind of a big difference between jails and prisons. And a higher percentage is desirable for this measure as it reflects their ability to manage diabetes patients. LDL improved for diabetes patients not in good control. Again, big difference between jails and prisons. And a higher percentage is also desirable for this one as it reflects their ability to manage. This graph is just for jails. So LDL improved for diabetes patients not in good control. This was included in their reports. These are the 10 jails that participated in the first round. And you can see there's quite a bit of variation. Barriers to data collection. EHR was a big one. It's not required to participate in CORDS, but it definitely makes gathering the data a lot easier. One of the other issues is because of offender management systems and recidivism, it was difficult to identify inmates that had not been incarcerated within 45 days prior to the study period, which is a requirement. So a lot of the facilities that participated can only take a snapshot. So who is in the facility that day? And that was a big problem. And as I mentioned before, some of our measures include patients in the denominator that did not have a second test. And some of the participants had trouble with that, not because it was difficult, but because they didn't want to include those because it highlights a problem with their process. And data quality and validation, we received a lot of data that was missing and or a non-integer value. Barriers to performance enhancement. There really is a lack of knowledge and training in CQI and corrections. The length of stay in jails presents a problem there. And in corrections in general, there's a reluctance to identify areas of concern. EHR implementation is pretty time-consuming. There's a lot of staff turnover in corrections. And one of the most common misconceptions is that outcomes are solely based on provider performance, and that's just not correct, especially in corrections where you have a lot of patient-related factors that you have to adjust for. So comorbidity is a big one, treatment adherence. And, you know, you could have a diabetic patient that visits the commissary on a daily basis, and you have to kind of think about those when you're analyzing outcomes data. Quality improvement and CORDS. You know, we really wanted to create a tool for monitoring outcomes specifically for corrections. We want to standardize performance measurement. We want to foster collaboration in the field. That's a big one. We are providing data. They're providing data to us, and we're providing reports to allow them to compare their facilities and systems to other facilities and systems. And a side note would be that hopefully, you know, by doing that, they're more motivated to improve if they're competing against one another. There's also it's also about promoting problem identification and areas in need of improvement. And due to the differences in quality improvement in jails and prisons, the length of stay in jails makes it a little bit more difficult. It's more about risk management. Whereas in prisons, you know, you have your patients around quite a bit longer, you can focus more on outcomes. So as this project is right now, it's probably more valuable and beneficial to prison systems rather than jails. We hope to eventually incorporate process measures into this project, and at that point, it will become more valuable for jails. The future of CORDS, we have already begun phase two. We have roughly 500,000 inmates in the denominator at this point, and that includes 3 new prison systems and 10 new jails. We've kind of been kicking around new measures to include in the second round, HIV, warfarin, dyslipidemia, and hypertension. We also hope to have a website up and running in the next few months that will allow participants to kind of propose new measures, comment on the measures that we have already, discuss the difficulties they encountered in collecting and submitting the data, and more importantly, to provide us at the Commission with insight as to what's more valuable to them. You know, what types of comparisons do they want to see in the reports that they're getting back? And if you have any questions, please contact me at cords@ncchc.org.